Well, what I wanted to share with you this morning, you could take your Bibles and go to Psalm 19, is God will perform His word. In Psalm 19, verse 7, the title of the teaching is God will perform His word. And in verse 7, it says, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the souls. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's word's perfect. His word is perfect. His ways are perfect, it says in, I think it's Samuel. He is perfect. It says the statutes, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. You know, our Father has given us a word. He's given us, in fact, Psalm 19 says that this word is written in the heavens. He's given us a word that every language, every nation in the world can see. You know, and if people really want to know God, they can. They can come to Him and just seek Him, and He will be found. In Matthew 24, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Every word, every promise of God is absolutely sure. And it has to come to pass. And it's, I guess, the point that I wanted to make today more than anything else is that the word of God is going to come to pass. What our attitude towards that whole thing is the most important aspect of it. Because if we got the word and we have the world in which we live, I mean, it gives us an attitude of distrust in almost everything we do. I mean, almost every foundational institution that's in the world has been called in question as far as its integrity. You know, families have their problems. Everything has its problems. But the one thing that you can't read any of that we deal with day in and day out in the world, you can't deal with any of that and bring that into what you read in the scriptures and how your attitude towards God is. Your attitude towards Him has got to be steadfast. And Jesus Christ gave us the tremendous example of this. It was never a question in the Lord's mind that maybe this will come to pass. He was, when he talked to the people, he talked in absolute terms when it came to God answering and God doing His word and God making it happen. It's going to come to pass no matter what. And in this verse here, that we just read here in Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away. It's going away. But my words shall not pass away. And that is the truth. John chapter 17. In John 17 and verse 17, the Lord declares again very clearly. He's praying to His Father, and He says, sanctify them, set them apart through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. I think one of the terrible things I think was taught through my generation, and maybe even before, I don't know, but that everything is relative. You know, ever hear that? Everything is relative. You know, that's not true. The word is absolute truth. The word is an absolute, just like math. 2 + 2 = 4. And I'm sure there's somebody on the planet that would argue that. But the word that God has given us in his scriptures is absolute truth. And you can trust it with your very life. In fact, you do. You trust this word so much, or, you know, you should trust this word to such a degree, you're betting your entire eternal life on it. You know? If this isn't true here, then why would you believe it anywhere else? If it isn't true in Psalm 19, why would you believe it anywhere else? You can take it to the bank, and it will be there. And there's no doubt about it. Go to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 23. In chapter 23, in verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Every promise in the book is yours. Every word is true. And how you perceive and how your attitude towards this scripture determines really everything in your life. Your attitude towards God's word, when you pick it up and you start to read it, you pray and ask God, teach me something, or help me with something, or show me something, or I need to know this answer, Lord, show me that. Your attitude when you approach the word really determines everything, you know, as far as your spiritual walk with him. And if you come to it with God is not a man that he can lie, then you just have to pound what he says and pound it into your own head. You pound it into your own head. I can't think of a better way of saying it. I make myself believe what he says. I make myself think what he says, believe what he says, challenge my thinking, I challenge my precepts, I challenge my attitude, and I try to line it up the best I can with what God says in his word. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. In chapter 18 and verse 21, this is one of the great records. It starts really back in 17. You should read it yourself. But Elijah is the man of God, and he has gone to 3 years before. He went to Ahab, and he said, it's not going to rain on the earth for 3 years, according to my word. And then God sent him to a brook. And he drank out of the brook, and the birds fed him. And when the brook dried up, God sent him to a widow woman. And he sent him to a widow woman with a kid in the middle of, like, the worst town in the land. Because that way the king never would have never thought that a man of God would go to such a place. It was like the worst... spiritual place in the whole kingdom. And God did miracles, and they ate and kept these people alive. And the child died, and then Elijah raised them from the dead. And the woman finally says, yeah, now I know that you're a man of God. And then God says, okay, now it's time to go see King. Go talk to Ahab. This is 3 years later. The whole kingdom is in disarray. There's been a famine in the land. People are starving. And it's a complete mess. It's a complete mess. And the truth of the matter, the truth comes down to Elijah stands before the king. He finally gets to the king. And he gets to the place where he has got the people of God in front of him, all the people of Israel, and he's got the prophets of Baal in front of him, and they're going to have a showdown. It's going to be a showdown. And he says to these guys in 21, and Elijah came unto, I'm in 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know how wonderful these people of Israel are? They got no idea. I don't know which one I ought to pick here. Baal or Yahweh. They don't know him. They don't know nothing about him. They have stopped believing in the God. You know, we think sometimes when we speak about Israel that they have some kind of background in the Bible and knowing about God. But just because you are in that line called Israel, one of the 12 tribes, doesn't mean you believe anything. You know, just because I'm Irish don't mean I can speak Gaelic or German, the other half of me. The other half of me always gets second rate. I don't know why. But so he's standing there in front of the entire nation and the king. The king is one of the worst unbelievers on ever. In fact, the king, because of his unbelief and because of the way he's leading people away from God, they've had this terrible drought. I mean, the drought came not because of global warming. The drought came because of God's curse, you know, to wake people up. So Elijah stands there, and right in front of him, he says, why stand you between two opinions? And I think this is, in our secular society, I think we got to come to the same kind of conclusion. Why is there a God or is there not a God? You have to come to the choice. I know that we in this room have, and you guys online have, but we have to come to this place where we absolutely make a declaration in our mind, and it's unmovable, that what God says is true. So he says to them, why stand you between two opinions? If Baal is God, follow him. And if Yahweh is God, follow him. Then said Elijah unto the people, I alone remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call you on the name of your God. And I will call on the name of Yahweh. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Okay, let's see what happens. They don't know which way it's going to go. They got no faith. Zero. Whatever they learned in life, maybe their parents believe. Maybe. I don't know. But they don't believe nothing. Let's see what's going to happen. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal. Baal's still around today. He's still worshipped today. But I don't want to get into that. And you call on the name of Baal from morning to evening until noon. So they did this all the way from the morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, he's doing something else, or he's in his journey, or maybe even perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regardeth. The God didn't answer. Baal didn't answer. Were they zealous? I mean, these are like the most religious people you want to see. They're cutting themselves, they're jumping up and down, they're singing and dancing. They are bleeding all over the place. And they're prophesying. You can fake any of the manifestations you want. And no fire. The God didn't answer. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near, verse 30, come near to me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar. He had to repair it because they were jumping around. The other guys were jumping around. Remember, 450 people. That's a sizable crew, right? I mean, we're not talking about, 450 people. That's and they're bleeding themselves and jumping up and down, yelling, trying to wake up their God. So he had to repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as it would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock, the bull, in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt offering, the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. Hey, you want a fire, and you're pouring wood on, pouring water on it? And by the way, it's also at nighttime. The other guys took from morning till the evening sacrifice, which is pretty much at sundown. So we're past sundown now. And he says, pour water on it, the burnt offering and sacrifice wood. Verse 34. And he said, do it a second time. Pour more water on it. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah and the prophets came near. The prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Now he is praying to God, and he is standing in front of an entire assembly of unbelievers. You know, Petra, one guy against the crowd and 450 prophets. So he stands and says, he starts praying, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things according to thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art Yahweh, thy Elohim, the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood. It consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trenches. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Yahweh, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah, you know, and I bet you, then this thing came down. I mean, you want to talk about a confirmation? You got, we'll see who's going to be God. What do you think? And then they all say, oh, it sounds pretty good. We'll find out who God is. Baal or Yahweh. I don't know. Let's see what happens. The fire comes down and wipes out this whole offering. And the water and everything else around it. And these people hit the ground. They hit the ground like a missile hit the place. And I bet you there wasn't a dry pair of pants in the whole company. And they, yep, this is the God. This is the God. They don't know really anything about him. They'd just seen a demonstration of him confirming that Elijah is the one who is speaking for the real God. And Baal didn't answer. He didn't show up. And Elijah said unto him, take the prophets of Baal, and let not one escape. Now, there's 450 of those guys. And he says, you grab them, and don't let one of them escape. And he took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Criton, and slew them there. He killed them. You know, this is a lot of work in one day. I want to say, you know, being a prophet, this was a lot of work. He's watching these guys singing and dancing and yelling, and then he's taunting them. He's having fun with them. And then he's got to rebuild his altar. That takes work, all right? He's got to cut up a bull. That takes a lot of work, all right? He's throwing these people, throw some water on it. And this is in the middle of a drought, so they're flooding the thing with water. He prays, the fire comes down, everybody knows who God is now. They don't know much about him, but they know that Elijah's the man, and God, Almighty God of Israel, is God. And then he takes the 450 and kills them, which I just think is such a wonderful thing. Hey, you want to get rid of evil, you get rid of evil. And he's done everything according to the word of the Lord. And I'm sure that action there was according to the word of the Lord too. You know? So, for the people who think, oh, that's not very loving. Well, I personally think it's very loving. You got all these people who have misled the people and led them to a different God. And I think you just got to take it in. And he shows that God is God. And yet, you know what? For all of this, Ahab is not going to believe. Still going to try to kill him. The people don't necessarily all turn. They turn right there at that moment. But again, I don't see a great improvement after this. You keep reading the record. Jezebel, you know, nobody names their kid Jezebel, right? So Jezebel, she's famished, she's evil. I mean, these were her prophets that she was feeding all this time. And she's upset. So she wants to kill Elijah. And it seems like nothing's changed. But God was made known. And the question and the point for us is, there's an awful lot of times when you say to yourself, what's real here? You know, what should I believe? What should I do? Where should I go? You know, is God really with me? Well, you just got to get yourself so that you're not caught between two opinions. Either God is God and his word is absolutely true and there's no question whatsoever in your mind whether you live or die. Or there's an if, but could be on the other side of your opinion. And I think that you and I really have to erase. We have to challenge ourselves. Because like I said, the world we live in, every authority, and I mean, in all my lifetime, just about every authority I thought had some credibility has been diminished. It has been diminished. Outside of God and outside of his word. The only thing that has got absolute authority in my thoughts and my mind is what the word says. And you have to come to the place where you're not in between two opinions. And it's not just a milquetoast kind of faith. You know? So, I mean, that was the point that... Give me Malachi. Last book of the New Testament, Old Testament, Malachi. You know, when Jesus, like I said to you before, when Jesus talked about his Father, when he talked about the Word of God, there was no second thought that we should be cautious in what we are saying. There was no cautiousness in looking in Jesus' eyes and saying, well, you know, the earth is going to pass away, but you know, I really believe, I really think that every word of God is true. No, he didn't say it like that. He said, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word will never pass away. It was no ambiguity in his speaking at all. When here we talk about the prophet Malachi in chapter 3, we are talking about, again, a whole Israel does not believe in God. Israel, and we're talking about the priest in this particular record, the priests are just playing, they're playing religion. They're not doing what they're doing because they have faith in God. They're doing what they're doing because they have a job and they're getting paid for it. It says here in this particular book that God says to the priest, he says, you wouldn't even open the doors of the house of God unless you got paid. And that's so true for, I think, so many ministers after the years go by. I'm sure that a lot of them started out with good intentions. But I watched an awful lot of the ones that I knew. Oh, unless you're going to, you know, support me, this, that, and the other thing, I'm going. I'm out of here. These are people who are playing church. They're not believing in the Lord and leading people to God. They're just playing. They're going through the motions, playing the game, keeping their job. And God says to these men in chapter 3, he says, you know, you bring the sacrifices, but you bring the garbage stuff and you put it on my altar. So he says to them in verse 10, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. You bring all these things into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. God makes this promise to them. If you will come and do it right, and do it because it's my word, because it's from me, then I'll open up the windows of heaven for you. But you know what? They didn't. Again, people did not return back to God. The priests didn't return back to God. And you know why? Why I know that? Because there's not a prophet given to Israel for the next 400 years until John the Baptist shows up in the book of Matthew. 400 years of nothing. You don't want him? He's quiet. The Lord, Almighty God's going to get exactly what he wants, right? He's going to get what he wants. It's never a question that God's word is going to come to pass. God is sending the Messiah. He's got the bloodline coming. He's got his promises. He knows what he wants. All the people who believe on him are going to be with him for eternity. And all the ones that don't won't. And people choose. They choose whether they want to be a part of this blessing or not. God's going to get everything he wants, and he's patient. Whether you participate in it or not is the question. Because if you give and do and live the word and put the word on and prove him, that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to, just like Elijah, you choose you. Why halt you between two opinions? Choose you. If the Lord's God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. It gets real simple. Hey guys, you're offering in my house. You got no heart. You got no love. You're not doing it for me. You're just playing church. You're just playing synagogue here. You're not doing anything for me. There's a lot of people who just play church. They talk about God, but they don't do what the word says. And Malachi lays it out, God's attitude towards them. But again, he is rich in mercy. If you come and do it right from this point on, I'll open up the windows of heaven. Go to Romans chapter 12. You and I are given this message. Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants you not to be conformed, molded to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by putting on a new quality in your mind. You put on the Word of God. You make it steadfast in your mind and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You prove the Word. You prove it. Then you know. Just like the fire came down, they saw it, they knew. You know it when you do it. And you'll never know it unless you start to do it. Learning about the Bible can be an intellectual exercise. But the truth of the matter is that you have a relationship with God when you start talking to Him. You can, I'm supposed to pray. But you know what? Okay. But you never pray. Do you see what I'm talking about? When I started dating Mary, I had to talk to her. I didn't have that much to say, but I had to talk to her. And we got to know each other. We got to talk to each other. We got to see a lot about each other. We started to build a relationship. That's how it's done. It's the same thing with God. I could say, oh yeah, Mary, I know that girl. She's over there. And just say, oh, I really like her, but never say it to her. And you can spend a whole lifetime over here in the other corner, in like one of those 1950s sock hops, dances where the girls are on one side, the boys were on the other side, that's the way it was back then. And then, and never go over and introduce yourself. Well, isn't it the same thing we're talking about with God? When you see and start to, somebody keeps talking about God. Well, if you want to learn about Him, you got to come to the Scriptures and look. And then you have to do what it says. You got to start talking to this God you don't know. When I started praying, somebody taught me, this is what you do. This is what it says you should do. Then you got to start talking to the God that you don't know. Make sense? Just like you had to start talking to the girl you don't know. And you prove. You prove the Scripture is right. The reason you're talking to Him is because I want to see if there's going to be a response. I want to see if there's going to be something happening here. And I'm telling you right now, it says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, He will save. He will help. He will guide. He will deliver. You call upon Him, and He will make Himself known. May not always be the answer that you want at that particular moment, but it's going to be answered, and you will start to know that He is for real. But you don't get there unless you start. So let's just think about this thing here about prayer, right? So what did Jesus say? When I was taught to pray when I was a child, I was taught to do the rosary. I was taught to do the, because I was a Catholic. And they taught me what to say. And they say, you say this a lot of times. You would repeat the same prayers over and over and over again. And you would do it really hard. This is what I was taught. And you just stick with it. You stay at it. And when you're small, this sounds really important. And then when you're older, you're wondering, my mind is going all over the place. I'm saying these things because I'm not thinking about them. I'm not thinking about the words that I'm speaking. And my mind is floating, oh, what am I going to play ball later on today? And this and that. And it's not focused, you know, because I'm just saying words. There wasn't a relationship. Now, I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just simply saying there was just no relationship. Well, Jesus taught us how. In Luke, don't take my word from it, just take his. In Luke 11, and your attitude towards this means everything. In Luke 11, and really remember what I said here. Your attitude towards this means everything. And it came to pass that when he was praying in a certain place, Jesus was praying in a certain place, that when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is in debt to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, the lesson continues here, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. This guy says within himself, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not arise and give him because he is his friend, that won't be his motive, yet because of his importunity, because that he's a pain in the neck, an annoyance, he will arise and give him as many as need, just to get rid of the guy. Take what you want, just get out of here. And I say unto you, ask. Look at this. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. You are to be persistent. Now, we're not spending a lot of time on the Lord's Prayer here. It's real obvious. You're supposed to be talking to God, not to Jesus. All right, that's obvious. Why the entire church doesn't talk to God and talks to Jesus all the time? It's a question in my mind. If you read the Bible and he means what he says, then do what he says. Jesus tells you to talk to the Father. Keep it straight. I mean, why not obey what the Lord Jesus Christ says? And be persistent. Be persistent. Be a pain in the neck in your prayers. This is not throwing up a prayer and it's just lazy and I don't have to say this until tomorrow, the next day. And maybe when I think about it again, I'll pray it again. Or maybe I'll never pray it at all. God heard me. He's supposed to know everything. Why do I got to say it again? You got to say it again. And you got to be persistent because the Lord Jesus Christ said so. If you're knocking, keep knocking. until it's answered. Keep seeking until you find. You know, don't take God at his word here. Take the Lord at his word and don't quit. And then he gives another beautiful. If a son would ask bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? Or if he asked a fish, would he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asked an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You want the greatest gift of all? The Holy Spirit? You want to be able to manifest it in your life? Ask. If you, being an evil person, and you and I are evil, we sin, we fall short, we lie, we are not 100% beautiful. And when I raised my kids, I made plenty of mistakes. Doesn't mean I didn't try, but I made mistakes. If I, being an individual, is not perfect, an evil man, I would give them the right thing, the blessed thing, and not give them a stone or a scorpion or something that would hurt them. How much more God Almighty, who is perfect and righteous? He wants a relationship with his people. He sent Elijah to these clowns. He said, hey, what are you doing? You're worshiping another god. He sent the prophet Malachi to the priests in Israel. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven for you. All you got to do is do this for me. Do it right according to my word. Jesus, you want to know how to pray? Here it is. Here it is, guys. Just put yourself in this man's shoes. You come up to the Lord and you ask him, teach me to pray. What does it take? Do what he says. And do it with the attitude that he says it. There is no doubt in the Lord's mind. The answer's coming. Are you going to be persistent or are you going to quit? That's what's at stake. There's another one on prayer, Luke 18. This is one of my favorites. And Jesus even tells you when the scriptures tell you what the parable is about, right in the first verse, in 18:1 it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is what it's about. That men ought always to pray and don't faint. And not to faint. Don't quit. Men ought always to pray and don't quit. So now you know what the point of the lesson is. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. But I watch people miss it all the time. Read what's written. Believe what the Lord says. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, I've got no respect for anything, God or men. That yet because this widow troubles me, because she keeps coming and nagging him. She's coming back again and again. I am going to come and dog this guy until he does something. If we go to the grocery store and they're arguing about the price, you know, bless their hearts, these ladies. Mary's Fight for what's right and don't let it go, right? So he says, yet because, verse 5, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest she her continual coming weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Isn't God gonna? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? There's no doubt that God will answer speedily. You just keep coming. You persist and you just nag. You just stay. Don't quit. Don't quit. You keep asking, you keep knocking, you keep going, and you don't quit. This is the instruction by the Lord Jesus Christ to all of us who pray. There are people who never bother to pray. There are people who just throw up a couple of words a day. We'll see. That's an attitude that's not going to get you anywhere. That's an attitude that is between two opinions. If you really believe that you were talking to the most powerful being in the universe with absolute power, absolute authority, with mercy in his heart, like our God, then you wouldn't quit talking to him and asking him for those things which are needed. You would not have an attitude that's less than, this is going to come to pass. This is going to happen. You know, now, not every prayer is according to God's word, and not every prayer is appropriate. You know, that I know. I can't tell God, well, I want to live a couple of thousand years. It don't work that way. It's not according to a promise that he has made. He says you're going to have a long life. And you know what he's talking about? Forever. This one is short. He tells us we are like grass. We grow, flower, wither away. Look at you. I'm only kidding, Kenny. Wither away. And now he's talking about, I'm going to raise you, new body, new mind forever. That's what he's speaking of in the scriptures. That's what he's speaking of. So, you know, to ask that those words won't come to pass is not biblical. Does that make sense? Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have a everything beautiful, wonderful, all in the middle, but I don't want to discourage, but at the same time, get real with what it says. In 1 John, the last verse we'll go to today, in 1 John chapter 5, it says, and this, in verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. We got confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will. So again, to live for thousands of years, In this lifetime, at this day and time, it's not according to his will. I don't want to beat that to death, but to live eternally, yeah. To accept him as Lord, to watch God work in your heart, to watch his blessings on your life, to watch his word come to pass, any promise that he says in his word he will bring to pass, to expect his mercy, to expect his love, his deliverance in different situations. These are all available because it says so. It says so. If we ask, I have confidence. I am not lost between two opinions. I have absolute confidence that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we desire of him. Those are the same kind of attitude in the words that Jesus spoke in the Gospels. The same attitude. I got confidence, I know. No, nothing wishy-washy here. The only way you and I do this is we take what we hear and learn here, and then we do it. We start doing it. And we will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You got to first take what he says and then do it. And do it the way he says to do it. And you will prove what God's word says. And that's in every category, not just prayer. But prayer is a major one to start with. So that's what I had to share with you today.